congregation please rise in our processional hymn is hymn number 623, found correctly in your bulletin, not on the hymn board. 623, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. O most merciful God, we confess we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus the Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to rise for the confession of faith, for the invocation, the Kyrie, and the hymn of praise. Found on page 138 in the front of the hymnal. Page 138. The grace of our Lord Jesus the Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Our hymn of praise for this Lenten season is hymn number 324. In the cross of Christ I glory. Hymn 324, we sing verses 1 and 4, only at this time.
First lesson is from Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and the water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is Psalm 95, and we will be reading it responsibly. O come, let us sing to the Lord.
Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come into the Lord's presence with thanksgiving.
Let us make a joyful noise to the Lord with songs of praise.
For the Lord is a great God.
And a great King above all gods.
In the Lord's hands are the depths of the earth.
The heights of the mountains are the Lord's also.
The sea is the Lord's, for God made it.
And the dry land which the Lord's hands have formed.
O come, let us worship and bow down.
Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For the Lord is our God. Oh, that today you would listen to the Lord's voice.
Do not harden your hearts as in Meribah, as on the day of Massah in the wilderness.
When your ancestors tested me and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work.
For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not regard my way.
Therefore, in my anger, I swore, they shall not enter my rest. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus, the Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God, and not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, but God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for the righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves God's love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, we will be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of God's Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus, the Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel for today, the third Sunday in Lent, is from the Gospel of St. John, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Once again this week, the Gospel is the whole chapter four, so I invite you to be seated. The next 3 weeks, counting today, are going to have long Gospel readings. We stand in honor of the Gospel and the presence of Christ in our midst, but due to the length of the Gospel, I'm asking you to be seated. You may follow along in your worship bulletin, the readings and prayers, but I'm going to weave the sermon in with the gospel reading. The people in Sunday school said, this is going to be a long worship service because the gospel's so long. Well, we're going to preach and read the gospel at the same time, and I will expound on it. Let us now pray in preparation for the sermon. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight. You who are our strength, our sustainer, and our redeemer. Amen. John chapter 4. Okay? Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself, but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria. Geography is very important here, folks. Judea, the Judeans were down south. Samaria was up north, the northern tribes, southern tribes, north-south. Think Yankees and rebels, same thing. And he had to go, to get to Galilee, he had to go through Samaria because it was even north of Samaria. You are to think about all of chapter 3. Go home this afternoon because we didn't get blown away, and we'll know who didn't turn their clocks back either when they come in at 11 o'clock for soup, supper, and coffee. But read chapter 3 and 4. John wrote his gospel for a reason this way. Chapter 3 was all last week about Nicodemus, right? The Pharisee. He was named, he's a Pharisee, he's a man of God. He comes in the dead of night to not be seen, okay? Because he doesn't want to be known. Because half the Pharisees wanted to get rid of Jesus and arrest him. The other half thought, well, maybe he's a prophet. Maybe he knows what he's talking about. Go figure. So John chapter 3, but especially John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, not just the southerners, not just the Judeans, but the Samaritans and the Galileans and the pagans across the lake. For God so loved the world. And you did think baptism. That was the whole, go home and read chapter 3. The whole thing was about baptism and being born again and being born of the Spirit. Okay? So as John's congregation hears these two chapters read together, and if we had time, we would have done that, chapter 3 and chapter 4. You're to remember baptism, Nicodemus, and the like. We'll talk more about that. Verse 5. So Jesus came to the Samaritan city called Sychar, near a plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph, coat of many colors. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. Now that's important. When did Nicodemus come? In the dark of night, so he wouldn't be seen, because he was afraid of being seen by his colleagues. Now it's about noon. Okay? A Samaritan woman came to draw water, verse 7. You've got to be kidding. Women are not stupid. You can quote me on that one. I will go to my grave saying, women are not stupid. Especially women 2,000 years ago who had to drag 5 gallons of water back to the house in order for washing and cleaning and all and cooking. Women are not stupid. They would gather water in the early, early morning hours when it was cool because they live in the desert. Judea, Samaria, Galilee, it's all desert. And you don't go out in the heat of the day at noon for water. You go in the early morning hours, 6 a.m., or the evening hours, 6 p.m., okay? But not in the heat of the day. That's important because that says who this woman is, that she came at noon. We'll more about that in a minute. And Jesus said to her, the woman at the well, give me a drink. His disciples had gone into the city to buy food. Now, Jesus doesn't very often ask anybody for anything. Okay, so this is kind of interesting. He starts the conversation. That's important too. This is one of the few times in scriptures where Jesus asks or requests anything from a person. But he speaks to a woman. And Jesus' request is daring because by speaking to a woman, Jesus crosses significant social boundaries of religion, ethnicity, and gender. You did not talk to women in public. Think burqa in 2023 in Afghanistan and Iraq. You did not talk to women. And even if the man initiated, you don't do that. Okay? So he's breaking rules here, Jesus. And Jesus can do anything he wants. He's the Son of God. Who am I to argue with him? But he speaks to her first and says, give me a drink of water. Social boundaries of religion, ethnicity, and gender are broken by him. Verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Judean, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Think Yankees and rebels, Civil War. It was that bad. They hated each other, okay? Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is saying to you, give me a drink, You would have asked him, and he would be giving you living water. That this is the part I just, oh. Verse 11, the woman said to Jesus, sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. What? Now, you can get very poetic and theological with me on that, but I think she's playing Jesus. Okay? She's coming, and we're going to talk about this in a minute. She's coming in the heat of the day at noon, and we'll talk about why that's true. But she's this repartee. She says to Jesus, sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave this the well, and with his sons, his flocks drank from it? In biblical times, the well was the singles bar. Plain and simple. In biblical times, those were the young women, because older women didn't want to carry 5 gallons of water at a time. Young girls who had not yet been married or young women would come to the well. I shared with Sunday school class, and I shouldn't get into this, but when I lived in Montana, I moved up there. I was 27 years old, young, good-looking back then, and a bachelor. And they said, you know, Pastor, all the German and Norwegian bachelors on the first day of school will park in the parking lot and see the new teachers coming in. They scope them out. I went, no, that's a story. Well, for the first 3 years, I was there. Not for myself, but I wanted to prove them wrong. All the pickup trucks were parked in the parking lot in a row to see who the new school teachers were. The school parking lot was the well 2,000 years ago to see who the women were. And if you don't believe that, go to your Old Testament reading. I'm trying to see where I am here. Abraham meets his second wife at the well. Moses meets his second wife at the well. Isaac meets Rachel at the well. Or Isaac meets Rebecca, and Jacob meets Rachel at the well. The well is the place that you go. It's the singles bar to find out who's available and who's strong enough to carry 5 gallons of water. Everyone knew that the well was the center of community, where gossip, conversation, and networking was greater than the National Enquirer, and encounters more common than Tinder. I didn't say anything, Pat Chase, about People magazine, though. You and I read that, so that's okay. Yeah. Wells were the meeting point for networking, political, and social conversations. It is thought that because of her social status, this woman could not come to the well in the morning or the evening. She was not welcomed by the other women and the community. So in the heat of the day, she comes to the well, or she might be there to pick up an available man. It can work both ways. Some of the young school teachers were seeing who drove what pickup truck to the parking lot, yeah? Or SUV in 2023. This is back in the dark ages of the 1980s. I think this woman had been ostracized by her community. She was not allowed to be in the gossip circle at 6 a.m. or 6 p.m. They didn't want her there. Why? We're going to talk about that in just a second. But she was ostracized from her community. She was not welcome. She was excluded. Okay? So verse 13, Jesus says to her, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. I think Jesus is meeting her word for word here. Sir, the well is deep and you have no bucket. Jesus said, the water I give will be gushing to eternal life. Read into it what you want. I'll talk to you at coffee hour if you want me to. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty again or have to keep coming here to draw water. Now, she may be very sincere, and there are some theologians, hashtag me too, who have a whole different reading now in 2023 of this scripture. But I am in the point of where the theologians were for the past 2,000 years, that she is in juxtaposition to the holy man of Nicodemus the Pharisee, the man of God. Here's this woman with no name, a foreigner from Samaria, not really part of the church, the Judeans, okay? And she's in this repartee with Jesus. Verse 16, Jesus said to her, go and call your husband and come back. The woman answered him, and this is where I lay my money. This is where I lay down my four aces, okay? The woman said to him, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you are right in saying I have no husband. For you've had 5 husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. He calls her out. Oh, my word. He tells her who she is.
He knows why she's there at 12 noon and not 6 in the morning in the cool of the day. He knows who she is when she said, "Well, you have no bucket and the well's deep. What are you going to do about it?" The woman said to Jesus, verse 19, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet." Okay, and I think that might be sincere because he just told her who she was without even not knowing who she is. "Our ancestors worshiped on this mountain, Mount Gerizim, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem on Mount Zion." I love it. She gets caught. She gets caught in her repartee, and she changes the subject. What about where should we be worshiping? Now, some theologians say, well, this is very important. She's asking the question we all ask. I think she's changing the subject. Jesus said to her, verse 21, "Woman, believe and trust me. The hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain, Mount Gerizim, or in Jerusalem on Mount Zion. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Judeans. But the hour is coming, is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship God. God is spirit, and those who worship God must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to Jesus, "I know the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Oh, my word. She may be a foreigner, but she knows her scriptures, the prophets and the Psalms, okay? And Jesus says to the woman, "I am the one who is speaking to you." Now, in your version, the NRSV, it says, "I am he." There is no "he" in the Greek. And that's very important, because "I am" is the great name for God. In John's gospel, you've got "I am" all over the place. "I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the living water. I am, I am, I am," Jesus says all the time. Because that's the name for God that we cannot say out loud. The great I am, Yahweh. That's the name that Moses got when Moses said, "Okay, I want to know who you are, God. We got all these names for you, but I want to know who you are so I can call on you and get your attention." And God says, "I am who I am. Call me by whatever name you want, but you're not going to get my name." And so the Orthodox Hebrews said, that's the great name. That's a name that cannot be said even to this day in Jerusalem by Orthodox Hebrew people, Jewish people. You don't say Yahweh, "I am." But Jesus said, "I am the one who is speaking to you." Jesus recognizes her thirst. He's the one that asks for a drink, but he recognizes her thirst for forgiveness, acceptance in the community, and to heal her spirit and ease the pain in her heart. And you don't have to read between the lines very much to get that. She's coming in the heat of the day to get water, 5 gallons of it, heavy as it is. She's had 5 husbands. We don't know. The hashtag MeToo people say, well, they may have died. Natural causes, not a black widow thing. They could have died. Well, what a track record. No wonder the guy she's living with doesn't want to marry her because the other 5 guys died. I think they divorced her. I think because she was in adultery with the next guy that came along. Okay? So Jesus recognizes her thirst for forgiveness and acceptance in the community and to heal her spirit and ease her pain of heart. And then comes the great part here, guys. I mean, if you don't think the scripture has a sense of humor. Verse 27, "Just then Jesus' disciples came and they were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, 'What do you want?' or 'Why are you speaking with her?'" We saw Pastor Beek in Pocatello last week with Ray McCates having dinner. It wasn't the well, and it wasn't the parking lot of the high school, but we saw Pastor Beek with Marla Egbert having lunch the other day. We saw Pastor Beek with Marion Hudnall having dinner just after he had dinner with Rayma and with Marla. What's going on? Yeah, there you go. Do you see what's happening here? Even the disciples are reading between the lines. She's not some great theologian. She was a harlot. She was in adultery. And she was ostracized and away from community. Okay? So the disciples didn't even ask, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking to her?" Verse 28. "Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, Come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? And they left the city and were on their way to him. Somebody asked in Sunday school, and that's why I'm so glad we had Sunday school beforehand, what gave her the nerve to go back to the city? That's the miracle in today's gospel. Jesus gave her acceptance and forgiveness and healed her spirit and eased her pain of heart. So much so that she was brave enough to go back to the city who had excommunicated her and had ostracized her, because you know who she is. Yeah. And she was brave enough to say, come and see. Those are the same words Jesus in John's gospel says to the disciples. Come and see what I'm all about. Come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? And they left the city and were on their way. She is the first evangelist in John's gospel. Forget Nicodemus or Joseph of Arimathea, or one of these men of God, these Pharisees. This woman who has no name, who's a harlot, in Pastor Beef's opinion, is the first one to go out and proclaim the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. And the thing is, she did it so sincerely, she did it so authentically and so truthfully, they left the city and were on their way to him. Really? They believed her? It's like, what the heck? They probably were astonished. And they probably heard her sincerity in her voice. Verse 31. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. Really? But Jesus said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, surely no one has brought him something to eat. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of God who sent me and to complete God's work. Do you not say 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting now. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true. One sows and the other reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. The miracle here in John's Gospel chapter 4 is that the woman was brave enough to go back and share the good news. The Messiah is here, isn't he? The miracle is that they responded to her and they listened to her. The miracle is that she's the laborer. The 12 yahoos that are following Jesus, they're worried about whether he's going to eat or not. I wish I had 12 friends like that. Pastor, you should eat something. Yeah. Oh, invite me to eat anything, you know? You know me, I love food. First, they were gobsmacked, to use the English vernacular. They were gobsmacked that he was speaking to a woman at the well because he was breaking all these laws, socially, ethnically, and religiously. What the heck was he propositioning her for? Are you kidding me? They were shocked. And then they worried about whether he had something to eat or not. And Jesus says, no, you don't get it. She's the laborer. She's the one that went out into the fields and she reaped what else had been sown by other men and women of God. And the city came with her to see Jesus. Verse 39. Many Samaritans from the city believed him, Jesus, because of the woman's testimony. Wow. Talk about healing and being brought back into community. He told me everything I've ever done, Jesus. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. They were just going through Rockland or Pingree onto the holier, bigger city in Galilee, Idaho Falls or Pocatello. They were just going through this, but they stayed for 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe and we trust, for we have heard for ourselves and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. Oh my word! I think this is probably at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry of 3 years, but why did the 12 yahoos, the 12 disciples that he said, come and see, do the same thing? They just went to get milk and eggs and bread and butter. Because of this conversation with this woman at the well, who remains nameless, She is then given the gift of God, of being able to share the good news and to be the laborer sent out into the field to harvest that which was already reaped, or harvest ripe, was already ripe. Do you see what's going on here? And if we didn't have women and children present, or maybe the men, women, you stay, you get it, right? We'll ask all the men to leave and the children to leave. We could get into the weeds about how, you know, down and dirty this all got, you know. Go home and read chapter 3 and chapter 4. I think the repartee, the humor is there. You've got no bucket, the well is deep. Oh, I've got living water that will go gushing up for eternal life. I think Jesus is right there with her, one for one. He wasn't pulling any punches either. And because of that, she trusted, and she believed, and she said, oh, my word. Who are you in chapter 3 or chapter 4? Nicodemus, the man of God who's named with all the power and control and knows the law? Or the woman at the well who remains nameless and supposedly has no power and no control over life because she's had five husbands and the ones that she's living with is not her husband now. And she's going to pick up this guy called Jesus of Nazareth? But that's not what happened. Who are you in this story? The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Amen. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Are you familiar with that tune, too?
I think so.
That's how we play. Okay, we're going to sing what she's playing. Hear me today. The words are important. We'll follow her.
Lay down, O weary one, lay It is Lent, after all, folks. We're not supposed to be so snappy, peppy, and happy, right? It's Lent. Oh, boy, sackcloth and ashes. Thank you. You warned me, and I just didn't hear it. You know, I was like, ah, what the heck? Now I have to go home and look at some other hymnals. Ah, yeah. I invite you to rise for the confession of faith and for the prayers of the church. Our confession of faith is the Apostles' Creed, found on page 105 in the front of the hymnal. Page 105. God has made us the people of God through our baptism into Christ, living together in trust and in hope. We confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Today in the prayers of the church, remember in our prayer, our bishops Elizabeth Eaton and Kristen Kempel, we pray for our AF Daily Bread ministry here in American Falls this whole month. Nationally and around the world, we continue to pray for the war in Ukraine and Russia and the nations surrounding it. We continue to pray for the people in Syria and Turkey due to the earthquake found there. We pray for all firefighters, law enforcement officers, EMTs, and first responders to each of these crises. And then our flag master, I am calling him, Todd Kendall, last Sunday had the flag at half-mast, and he came to church and said, who are we to pray for? He said, well, Phil Batt. He had gotten the text that Phil Batt had died Saturday evening and that we were to have our flags at half-staff. All week long, I have been watching the flags around town. Ours were at half-staff until this morning when they were supposed to go up full again, and you'll notice it's back at the top of the staff. But we were one of the few people who followed that etiquette of flying the mast at half-staff. For Governor Phil Batt's death last Saturday, a week ago. He was the governor of Idaho from 1995 through 1999. And I guess the first Republican governor elected after 28 years or something of Democrats. And so he was known for that too. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for the church, for all of God's creation and all people who are in need. Almighty God, we pray for the church. Bless partnerships with other Christians and interfaith dialogue. Guide the daily work of congregational and denominational leaders. Strengthen our combined witness for the sake of the gospel, that all experience your life-giving love. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Creator God, we pray for the earth and all creation. Bless ranchers calving and lambing and caring for their herds. Bless farmers as seed time is anticipated in the weeks to come. Bless the work of researchers and scientists who love your earth and care for the natural world. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Sovereign God, Prince of Peace, we pray for the nations of the world. Bless the world with justice and establish equity. Bless the leaders of nations with the gifts of integrity, justice, mercy, and compassion. Take from us all hatred, fear, evil, violence, and war. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful God, we pray for all those in need. Comfort your people and bring healing to all who are sick in body, mind, or spirit, especially those we raise up before you in our hearts and in our minds. Your steadfast love and mercy endures forever. Be with those who look to you for hope and healing. Give patience and living water to those waiting for answers. Grant hope to those who have reached the limits of treatment. Give compassionate hearts to those who accompany loved ones through illness and uncertainty. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord God, we pray for this congregation. We give you thanks for St. John's Lutheran Church. Do a new thing within us as we journey through these 40 days of Lent to the cross of Christ. Build up and strengthen the ministries and mission of this congregation.
Fill us anew with your Holy Spirit, your joy, your love, and your hope. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of compassion, we pray for all those who are working through and suffering from the world's pandemics. COVID, RSV, influenza, HIV. Bless the efforts and the work of all healthcare professionals, scientists, and workers across our nation and the world. Sustain and be with doctors, nurses, and medical personnel in their tireless work. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of life, we pray for all those who have died. We give you thanks for all those who now rest in you, especially Phil and those whom we lift up before you. Give us calm and peaceful hearts. Be with us in our grief and our sorrow. Be with us in our joy and our celebration for the lives of those whom we love. Turn our mourning into the joy and the new life and the hope in you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you know our prayer. We pray them. We look to you in hope and trust, peace and joy, knowing that you will do far more for us than we can ever ask or imagine. All these things, whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated. Those of you in the front of the church can turn around and look at me if you want to, because I'm going near the back of the church here. I debated long and hard about this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Pat Chase is here with us, with her best friend from Boise, Idaho, Pat, also. And I haven't even said anything, they're applauding you. And there is her sister, who is a force of nature, Mary, okay? Pat and Mary are here to help Pat move this weekend. She'll be moving today and tomorrow to Idaho Falls, her new home. Okay? And so we are proud of you and your willingness to go off on a journey, like the woman at the well, and you'll bring all kinds of good stuff to the people that you are now going to be living with, and new friends in Idaho Falls, you will. Just listen to me. I'm a preacher. I don't yet. Anyway, I want to honor her and thank her for all that she's done for us in the congregation. As a reader, as a worship committee member, as a council member, as a secretary, and the list goes on. You are loved, and we will miss you, but you're not gone. You're just in Idaho Falls, that high holy city of Idaho Falls. And we got your phone number, we got your address, and we know where to find you, and we will. So, I want to thank her for all that she's done. Thank the two of you for being the force of nature and helping her and all that she's doing. Yeah, you visited yesterday. Let's have a prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, as you were with Abraham and Sarah in their journey from their homeland to a new land, be also with Pat. Grant her your peace and your care and your love as she settles into a new home and a new way of life. Be with her family and friends who care for her both here and far. Allow them to know of the peace that you also bring. We give you thanks for Pat's presence in our midst all these years, for her ministry and all that she has labored at, and how she's been a witness to us and evangelists. Be with her in the days, the weeks, and the months and years to come. Allow us not to lose sight of one another as family and friends. All these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You're stuck with me. Welcome to worship. Welcome to worship this morning at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho. Today, the church here is the third Sunday in Lent. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting here with us today in person, and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station and the internet broadcasts. Happy birthday today to Shelby Hammond and Marlene Henry. Happy birthday this week to Caden Unruh, Curtis Campbell, and Marla Egbert.
This week at St. John's, see the readings and prayers page in the bulletin. The week's events are listed there on a schedule. There are many things coming up in the days and the weeks to come. The bread and soup meals are held today, as they have been the past couple Sundays, in the fellowship hall during coffee hour at 11:15. You're welcome to stay for coffee, cookie, bar, or even a bowl of soup. Are there any other announcements not found in the worship bulletin or corrections found there? I have a lot of corrections, but I'm going to talk to myself and get them right for next week. If not, I invite the communion assistants and the acolytes to come forward at this time in preparation for the Holy Communion. Our Lenten offertory hymn has changed to 186. Okay? I guess we didn't know that sermon hymn for today. I knew a different tune. Hymn 186 is the one I've been told by three people that we know. So prove them right and me wrong. Hymn 186, Create Me a Clean Heart, O God. We sing it now as our offertory hymn in preparation for Holy Communion. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts of ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love. Through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. I invite you to rise with a great thanksgiving in preparation for the Holy Communion, found on page 144 in the front of the hymnal. Great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Salutary our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus the Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal Feast, that renewed in the gift of the baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with the choirs of angels and the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Remembrance of me. Lord, remember us in your kingdom always, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
We remain standing and prepare for the Eucharist by singing the hymn, Lamb of God, found on page 146 in the front of the hymnal. Page 146.
Thank you.
please rise for the blessing, the post-communion canticle, hymn number 208, and the prayer. The blessing first. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
waiting for us. Thanks be to God.